The contributions of British religious enthusiasm to the country's years of decline in the early 20th century are more straightforward. A wave of missionary and evangelical religion pushed the old England of Anglican squires and cathedrals toward a new middle-class moralism during the Victorian era, following on the heels of the 18th century rise of nonconformists, Quakers, Methodists, Independents, and Jews, which had spurred so much innovation in finance, commerce, and industry. However, the evangelical wave was especially influential, as summarized by historian R.C.K. Enser in England, 1870 to 1914. No one will ever understand Victorian England who does not appreciate that among highly civilized countries, it was one of the most religious that the world has ever known. Moreover, its particular type of Christianity laid a peculiarly direct emphasis on conduct. It became, after Queen Victoria's marriage, practically the religion of the court and gripped all ranks and conditions of society. After Prime Minister Melbourne's departure, 1841, it inspired nearly every front-rank public man, save Palmerston, Prime Minister for all but 1 year between 1855 and 1865, for 4 decades. Moral pretension became a second British flag, just as it later became a second American flag. Between 1850 and 1914, the percentage of people in England attending church or chapel declined somewhat from the 40 to 50% range to 25 to 35%, largely because of disaffiliation as the population became concentrated in large cities like London, Manchester, and Liverpool. Attendance remained higher in Scotland, Northern Ireland, and Wales, all largely nonconformist Protestant rather than high church Anglican. Wales in particular underwent a major revival as late as 1904 to 1907, a paroxysm of revelation and ecstasy so powerful that for a while crime slackened and Welsh liquor consumption fell by half, bankrupting a considerable share of tavern owners. Besides inner conversion, evangelicalism also emphasized outward conversion efforts by its adherents. As a result, the 19th century saw a huge increase in foreign missionary activity, along with an upsurge of moral imperialism, belief in Britain's duty to save the world, that abetted and reinforced the everyday patriotism of parades, naval reviews, music hall songs, and saber-rattling literature. Initial public enthusiasm for World War I, as we will see, marched in part to the stirring cadences of onward Christian soldiers. When post-war disillusionment took over, few British institutions paid a higher price than the war-drumming denominations, led by the Church of England. To summarize, religion, while not routinely cited as a significant factor in Dutch and British decline, did play a considerable part and had also played a central role in the downfalls of Rome and Spain. Fervent religion feeding into national hubris late in an imperial trajectory is a particularly worrisome historical sign that should summon caution for the present-day United States. Symptom number 2, related to the first, involves the interplay of faith and science. What might be called the Roman Disenlightenment has been well dissected in Charles Freeman's The Closing of the Western Mind, 2002. He dwells on how Rome's 4th and 5th century Christian regimes closed famous libraries like the one in Alexandria, limited the availability of books, discarded the works of Aristotle and Ptolemy, and embraced the dismissal of Greek logicians set forth in the Gospel of Paul. To Freeman, the elevation of faith over logic stifled inquiry in the West, leaving the next advances to Arab mathematicians, doctors, and astronomers, and brought on intellectual stagnation. It is hard, he wrote, to see how mathematics, science, or associated disciplines that depended on empirical observations could have made any progress in this atmosphere. From the last recorded astronomical observation in 475, it would be over 1,000 years, with the publication of Copernicus's De Revolutionibus in 1543, before these studies began to move ahead again. Habsburg Spain, a second empire immersed in Catholic theology, was equally hostile to scientific inquiry. The eminent British historian of Spain, J.H. Eliot, recounted the 17th century episode when the Spanish government, deliberating over a vital canal project, assembled a junta of theologians who advised that if God had intended the rivers Tagus and Manzanares to be navigable, he would have made them so. Another historian of Iberia, Henry Cayman, quotes a visiting Italian nobleman in 1668 as saying that the ignorance is immense and the sciences are held in horror. Detailing how Spain relied on Italian and other foreign scholarship while importing needed technicians from other Catholic parts of Europe, Cayman summed up, "Spain remained prominent by its absence from the European intellectual and scientific scene.